Welcome to The Neighbor Next Door, a podcast about the power and importance of neighbor. I'm your host, Matthew Johnson, and I'm here in the Front Porch Studio at 1200 South Broadway, and joined by Adam. And Adam, I got a question for you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Why is beef stew not a good password?
I don't know.
Because it's not stroganoff.
Oh my God, what is happening? okay. So I think Matt's trying to lead us into the joy episode.
Yes.
By trying to be funny, which is not joy. But
it brings me a lot of joy to watch you have to like catch that curveball.
Well, welcome to the podcast, listener. We are on the third episode of a three-part series where we're talking about the ingredients of neighboring. So we've already talked about relationship and abundance, which are in the previous two episodes that in your feed. You can check those out. And today we're talking about joy and what we mean by joy, which we think is a key ingredient of neighboring. And I can tell you right now, I don't think that lame jokes are part of it.
True. That is true.
But they're actually good. I don't mind them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you've landed a few.
Oh, yeah. I've hit a few of those in this very room, actually. So,
yeah. But actually, the reason that I shared that is because it was my neighbor Mark who told me that.
Okay.
And part of what makes brings joy into Mark's life is sharing humor with other people.
I mean, that's who Mark is.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so he and I were having a conversation the other day in our front yard, and he was like, "Hey, Matt, do you know why beef stew is not a good password?" And
when Mark tells jokes, there is no like segue. It's just like, here it comes. I'm telling you a joke now.
That's right. And it's fun. There's laughter there, but also I think it's joyful for him. And here's when we talk about joy, this is about being authentic to yourself.
Yeah.
And so there is something about Mark authentically. He enjoys sharing those jokes, and he enjoys it so much that I mean, I had tears in my eyes laughing.
Yeah.
We were talking the other day in my front yard.
Which partially is because when you witness someone being joyful, living authentically who they are, then it brings joy out for yourself as well, because it's like you see it in them. It's just attractive. And I think I said this in every episode now. It is, it's contagious and it's exponential. And so it inspires you to do the same and everybody around them to do the same.
So a little bit about joy, and I'm thinking that maybe we should offer some clarifier here. We've named a little bit. So we do think of joy differently than like happiness or temporary pleasure. Joy is bigger, so joy can hold happiness,
right.
And it can be those bigger components. But also, joy also is big enough to contain our sadness and sorrow. Joy can contain struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that joy connects us then with like resiliency and vitality.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I have a lot of people who I have, who I read, who talk about joy. So yeah. Some of them, we together, Matt and I, along with some of our community, read The Book of Joy, which is an amazing book. Desmond Tutu and the Dalai Lama talking about joy. Mm-hmm. Really good stuff in there. Another one is Adrienne Marie Brown, who she actually is a pleasure activist. Which I just even love that whole phrase. Just like, yes, I love that.
Yeah.
And talks about the importance and need for joy. And then the last one that I wanted to mention is Brené Brown, who has done a ton of research, if you have ever listened to any of her stuff, about the link of gratitude and joy. Hmm. And for her, it's all like, she's done just thousands and thousands of pieces of data, right, that have proved that people who have a lot of joy also practice gratitude all the time.
Hmm.
And like that, I was just listening to her podcast as she was processing the pandemic.
Yeah.
And talking about how she had started neglecting her gratitude practices during the pandemic because, you know.
Yeah, pandemic.
yeah, right. And how she needed to get back in that. And I was like, oh my God, that is me all the way. Like we used to do like gratitude journal every night and we would talk about gratitude with our kid and all this stuff. And I realized that we had forgotten that and not done it. And I also realized that a big reason why we've forgotten it is because we had built up grief that we had not processed.
Yes.
And like for me to have joy, it's not just gratitude. I also have to grieve just as much as I need to do gratitude. Mm. So like for me, I've realized just lately, like joy, the one way I create joy and I live into my authentic self is I sustain the practices of grief and the practices of gratitude in my life. Mm. And those two things together help me be authentically who I want to be without carrying around this burden of grief, or without, you know, missing all the good things that are happening because my life is my life.
So there's something there, I think, about the, because I think of joy as being this kind of energy.
Yeah.
It just kind of permeates some, you know, and you can see it in people and groups sometimes. And I think, yeah, part of what you're naming that's kind of an aha moment for me is like when we don't grieve, there's like sadness or sorrow or loss kind of deep inside of us.
Yeah.
And we have to like use energy to keep it stifled down. Right? And so we just keep pushing it. And
we start to define ourselves by what we lost.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is not what, that's not joy.
Right. Right. And so grieving is the process of bringing that out, that loss out into the open, releasing the energy that we were using to like suppress it.
Right.
So that it can be expressed. And then that energy is freed up for other aspects of life, whether that's continuing the grief process you know, continuing in other areas.
Yeah. To like name, like what I mean by like, I need to grieve, like sometimes it literally is like, I need to go cry somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times it's just like naming it, like, you know, just like saying like, I'm sad today and I don't know why. Mm-hmm. And here's the things that have happened in the last week that like pissed me off, or like things I thought I was going to get to do that I didn't get to do, or, you know, people in my life who I feel more distant from than I want to, like just naming those things. And then for me, there's a kind of a, you know, I often use breath prayer as a way of processing that and breathing in some hope and breathing out some peace so that I can release those things and say, I'm not going to hold them and I'm going to reframe them in a different way or think about them in a different way. Like, it's not like there's no magic to it, really.
Mm-mm,
it's just really being intentional about processing it in my own mind or with people who I trust.
Yeah, I think the other piece that I would name when we get into authenticity and why and joy and authenticity around neighboring is that neighboring comes potentially with some baggage of, well, a neighbor. So in order to be a good neighbor, Matt and Adam must be expecting me to be Mr. Rogers.
Oh, God.
Right. I can't do that.
Anybody who knows me, they might be like, Matt, kind of like Mr. Rogers. But they're like, Adam, definitely not like Mr. Rogers. Not the same. I wear the cardigans, but I don't pull off the rest of it.
Any other part of it.
Yeah.
Yes. And since I never have pop culture references, I have a pop culture reference to share related to this. This is so hilarious to me. So the one thing that I really enjoy is the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes.
It's one of my guilty pleasures. And I was watching the Avengers Endgame movie, and there's this great line in there where Thor, this is so crazy. It's so brilliant. Thor is having a conversation. He goes back in time to visit with his mom. But listen to this.
I just realized that when you explain the like scenes in Marvel to a person who hasn't seen them at all, like me.
Like you, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, that movie sounds terrible.
I mean, well, I'm definitely not trying to convince you to watch it.
Okay,
anyway.
Hey, good, because I'm not going to.
So, but she has this great line. Everyone fails at trying to be who they're supposed to be.
Okay.
The measure of a person... the measure of a hero is how well they succeed at being who they are.
Mm. Yeah, that's good.
I mean, and I think it's even better because it's nestled into this super crazy plot line of a superhero movie, right?
Well, I think what I love about it is the supposed to be.
Yeah.
And like how many messages we get about who we're supposed to be, mm-hmm. internal and external, like, there's just all these messages about who you're supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you do try to do that, like you're never going to like, forget joy. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. It will sabotage joy.
Yeah.
And so part of our mission in Neighboring is to really encourage people to find their way.
Right.
Of Neighboring. What does that look? So you can take these three ingredients, relationship, abundance, joy, and yet live them in a way that's very unique to you.
Mm-hmm.
Looks very different than how I do it, how mm-hmm. Adam does it, et cetera.
And I think Neighboring in particular forces us to be authentic mm-hmm. because it is connected to where we actually live. You know yeah, what I mean? Like yeah. people will go to work and they'll put on a face and they'll mm-hmm. put on like, this is who I am at work.
Mm-hmm.
But home is where we kind of like try to let ourselves be who we are. I mean, yeah. ideally.
Yeah.
And those are where your neighbors are too. So, so what's that going to look like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's a huge invitation through every aspect of our lives to practice. I mean, thinking about Brené Brown, who I'm sure someday she'll have us on. We can discuss this on her.
I'll just text her real quick, see when she wants to do that.
Right. So I think, you know, so many people feel lonely. And I think part of that lonely feeling is because we don't have places where we are allowed to be who we are.
Yeah.
And I'm realizing like part of Neighboring is the invitation to practice being authentic around the people who live near you.
Absolutely.
And it melts the illusion of loneliness, helps us realize we have a shared commonality mm-hmm. among mm-hmm. all humans that we just live in denial of so much.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we kind of, there's some ways of like thinking about like, what does it mean to neighbor authentically as I am? We have some ideas for you and we know that there's like basically endless amounts of them.
Yes. Yeah. It's infinite. There's yeah. just no.
Every person has yeah. their own version of this. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's like a couple of examples and these aren't even like exclusive, like you can only be one, like,
no, yeah, right? That's right.
Like you could have all these. So the first one that I think of Catherine right away, are connectors, right? Mm-hmm. Some people neighbor just because they see the connections between people and places and ideas and they like Catherine gets super energized.
Right.
She becomes joyful when she sees the potential of a connection.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I've seen Catherine, who's usually a pretty docile person.
Mm-hmm. Very even-keeled.
Even-keel, yeah. And she starts to dream of connections, and like, she cannot sit still.
Right, right.
It's crazy. Like, her, there is a, like a vibration in her soul.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah, yeah.
That she has to go and make those connections. Yeah. Yeah.
And just a really quick story, but it, I think illustrates how small the connection can be.
Yeah.
She was so pumped. we inherited like a dozen free eggs, farm fresh eggs, and we didn't need that many. We already had a dozen. And so she reached out to one of our neighbors that we hadn't connected with before. We just hadn't had a reason. She left a note on her door and said, "Hey, if you're interested in eggs, you know, we have a bunch. And here's my number." Yeah. And the person reached out to Catherine, was like, "I love eggs." And so Catherine was like, "Yes." And like ran, you know, like, "I got to go take these eggs." And like, so really simple things, but connection.
Yeah.
Right. And that just super energizing to her.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. Okay. Another one would be, I'm going to go with builders.
Oh, okay. Going out of order on
our order, just kind of jumping around
list here that we've created so that we stay on task.
Okay, all over cool. This. So builders are people who, like, I think they're the action people who want to, like, make things. They want to build stuff. They're like, they don't want to really chat a lot. Like, they're kind of the people that you call on when there's thing to get done. And they're the people who are like, so our neighbor Craig is, and we've mentioned him before, he's just this amazing guy and super talented,
right?
And mechanically inclined. And like, if you have something that needs fixing and you're not sure what to do, like, he will be there in a minute.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's incredible to
me. With his like welding gun and, you know, like the bicycle that he created to carry his welding gun and like all these like crazy gadgets that are all secondhand rebuilt stuff.
It's great. Yeah. So, you know, I just, that kind of action, make it happen, build it. I feel Craig's joy. I mean, I don't know if he would call it joy, but like, it seems joyful to me.
Right.
And he's like, "I can help you fix that." Like, he's there. And it's just awesome.
Absolutely.
Another one would be healers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of healers, for me, in my experience, like, a lot of, like, people who are really good neighbors that have this kind of gift of healing, they're also just really good listeners.
Yeah, for sure.
And they're just willing to, like, hear your story, let you process. Like, they ask good questions. You can tell they care. They're very empathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And it just comes through them.
Right.
And after you share it, you're like, you just feel like, it's like, oh, I don't feel like I'm carrying all of that the same way that I was.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. So another example for that one might be Dylan, who's worked with us this summer.
Yeah.
And he's been walking with high schoolers who go out and do knocking on doors and have a lot of sometimes anxiety around, like, it's just hard to go knock on a bunch of doors that people you don't know in a neighborhood that, you know, you've been told maybe is not very safe. And Dylan, he just has this, like, he's a very chill dude.
Yeah.
And he just like will like help them name their anxiety, breathe through it, and find a way to like reframe it. It's this amazing skill that he brings. He practices meditation all the time in his own life.
Yeah.
And he can just like easily bring other people into that.
Yeah.
And
then one more, I think just for fun, are the storytellers.
So many good storytellers that we know.
Yeah.
I had just the other day, this woman called our office phone.
Yeah.
And she said, "My name's Rita. I live at this block." And then she just started talking.
Yeah.
And she just told me story after story. I have no clue why she called. She needed to tell stories, I think, is why she called. So she just started telling them.
Yeah.
And it's those people, though, they're so great. And like, they hold a lot of joy, not just for themselves, but because they know the stories of the block.
Mm-hmm.
They can give you that full picture of the block and help you see it in ways that highlight the joy over, you know, the full time they've been there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I think, kind of, for me, and, you know, concluding with storytellers, because we are human beings, we make sense of the world through stories,
right?
And we need people kind of sharing the stories. And it's interesting to me because stories aren't efficient.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So it's always, this is part of me when I hear someone going into a story that's like, do I have time for this? But the truth is, like, within our stories, there's a lot of wisdom, there's a lot of knowledge. And kind of going back to our last episode, and if we have a culture of contribution, the story is where that gets revealed.
Yeah.
Because you listen to the story and you hear like, well, this neighbor did this, and then this neighbor, and here's what happened. And then we responded here.
Right.
And here's how we came together. And suddenly it's like, oh, the story bears the culture.
Yeah. And it also, in stories, this is based out of my religious training and learning from Jesus in parables, right? Jesus gets asked questions and he responds with stories, not because he wants to give people answers, but because he wants to help people make meaning. And that's what stories are doing. They're helping you make meaning in your particular place.
Yes. Yeah. So. Yeah. That's good. That's
good. Well, it's Jesus.
Yeah, so I guess that must be the end of this episode, huh? I mean, we got to Jesus.
I don't get there very often, actually, so that's good. I'm glad I did.
Out of 130 episodes, that might be the first time. Seminary training paying off for you.
That's right. So we think that neighbors are people who are able to practice good relationships, that find abundance and live out abundance, and then also have this joy and that connects to their authentic self of who they really are.
Yeah.
So those three episodes go a deep dive into those, and also every episode that we do, we usually reference one, two, or all of those.
Right. Yeah.
And so you'll hear it in everything we do. It is very active, alive in the way we make decisions here at the Neighboring Movement and the way that we try to form our internal culture with the staff here. Yeah. I can't overemphasize how important those words are to us.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they are a guiding constellation for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other piece of it in terms of neighboring is that you can't, the way that they intertwine to each other is wonderful. Like, I think when we have meaningful relationships, it's a source of joy in our lives. Mm-hmm. When we're living out of our gifts, that's a source of joy.
Yeah.
Our relationships are built on the giftedness of other, which is a source of abundance. I could go on and on.
Yeah, that's, they definitely, we chunked them up in these episodes, but they are all, we see them pretty much interdependent, so.
Yeah. So there you go. Well, we hope that you enjoyed.
Oh, God.
This just, episode.
You can't blame Mark for that one.
Nope, I can't. So, but seriously, thank you for joining us on our front porch and being a part of this conversation and a part of the movement. Want to give thanks to Jenna, who does our editing and gets everything pulled together. I also want to thank Christopher for scheduling everything, keeping us organized. And and until next time, happy neighboring.
Happy neighboring.